Hi, Taimes. I am your host, Diana, and you are listening to the Taiwanese Girl Podcast. This is a show where we can have a relaxed conversation of what it is like growing up as Asian Australians and being Taiwanese. Grab a glass of wine, get yourself comfortable, let's chat. In the spirit of reconciliation, the Taiwanese Girl Podcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of the country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders peoples today. So, today, I thought it would be a good idea, well, actually, my husband would think it was a good idea to practice on our ripstick. Now, for those who don't know what a ripstick is one of those, it looks like a skateboard, but you can actually like wiggle them, and it's how you gain momentum, in the direction that you're going in. Because we are going to Queenstown in 2 weeks' time. We're just trying to get a feel of what the snowboard's going to be like. I've been snowboarding since I was little, but I haven't been back in the last 6 years. So it's been some time, but when I was living in Auckland, that was exactly my dad like brought us back pretty much every year since we moved to Australia. Anyway, long story short, yeah, we decided that it was a good idea to go sticking, I guess. I fell hard. I landed on my foot and I think I overextended it. So where the middle part of your foot and the front part of your foot hyperextend. Yep, it hurts. It absolutely hurt. I've been hopping around the house right now and my husband is just laughing in my face saying, oh, I used to play sport. Like, this is nothing. You just sprained it. But I swear I fractured it. But no, he said, no, I sprained it. Which he is right, because I am kind of semi putting pressure on it right now, but freaking hell, it still hurts. My God, like, I am not a sporty person, so I don't get these kind of pain a lot, but for those of you out there who does play sport quite often, you probably know how this feels. Like, when you freshly sprained any part of your body, you just, for me, I was like, this is the worst pain I ever felt. I was like, I'm not giving birth. This is too painful. If this is painful, imagine when I give birth. Yeah, that is a no. No go. Anyway, all jokes aside. Yeah, that was the random things I've done this week. Not smart. I am old. I am not young anymore. And when I fall, everything hurts. Everything hurts. Oh my God. Anyway, leave a comment below. In my question and answer box, what are the random things you guys done this week? Share it. I would love to know. Now, let's get on to our episode. Welcome back, Taimes, to the Taiwanese Girl Podcast. I hope you guys enjoy that segment on the random things that I've done in a week. I would like to make that a regular thing. I think it's pretty funny. And also, it would be really cool if you guys can leave a comment on what you guys been through for the week. Doesn't even have to be anything random. But yeah, but anyway, let's get on to with the episode. So for today, this is actually my first official episode. And it is about my identity crisis as a Taiwanese Australian and or Asian Australian. I'm sure all of you out there can relate to me if you are if you're ethnic, that lives in a different country that you're not familiar with, I guess, in that sense. But yeah, so it is definitely a topic that me and my friends talked about quite a fair bit. When sometimes you're talking about a certain situation or experience that you've been through at home with your parents, only other people that are similar culture to me can understand. So yeah, it's super interesting. When I first came here in 2003, my dad immigrated us over because of SARS. So in Taiwan, back in 2003, SARS virus broke out. And so at the tail end of 2003, we moved over. 2004, I didn't drop down a grade. Most people would when you're coming from a different country and your English language is I guess for me at the time, even though I was born in Auckland, my language, like my foundation of my language was Mandarin. So because I did my grade 1 to 3 in Taiwan. So that being said, when I came over, my English wasn't the best. Like you can't even talk to me in a full sentence. So if you talk to me in a full sentence back then, I'd probably be looking at you and be like, what are you talking about in Chinese in my head? So yeah, no, not nothing like this as I'm talking to you guys right now. It came a long way. But anyway, so yeah, so in 2004, I went into straight away grade 4, finished grade 3 in Taiwan and started grade 4 straight away. And I guess I just wanted to chat about, yeah, just like the struggle just coming over if you're not growing up as a baby, I guess. Like for me, it was quite hard. And yeah, like I said, your lunchboxes looks, you know, smells different. You dress different. The way you act is different. And you're trying to immerse yourself into this culture, into this westernized culture that, you know, you're about to be in for, I guess, the rest of your life if you're one of those immigrants where you want to, like if you immigrated over permanently. So that was quite hard for me, I have to say. I think for me, especially in primary school, like as kids, you have no filter. You say whatever you feel. So not that I have no feelings. I mean, you know, at grade 4, you can definitely tell when someone's being a little bit nasty to you. And, you know, as a kid, you don't know how to process that emotion. Well, you don't even know how to just be like, oh, just ignore it like I am now. But so that was a little bit hard for me. And especially not being able to have a proper conversation with your classmate. That was also really, really hard for me. So primary school, I was only there at the school I was at. It was a public school up until grade 6. My dad then transferred me over to boarding school. And I think one of the reasons in my last episode when I briefly spoke about how I was like, oh, see ya, bye parents, I don't want to live with you, I want to go live in boarding school. I think at grade 6 or going into grade 7, I was quite, like I know my English level wasn't great. Like I know. So in the 2 years that from that I was in the public school, in my primary school, my grades wasn't great. Whereas in Taiwan, my grades for my Chinese class, like to be honest, for most of my classes in Taiwan when I was going through grade 1 and 3, I would say I'm above average. Like I was great. But then as soon as I came over to Australia, it just went downhill. It wasn't great. And my confidence was not, you know, plummeting, and it wasn't a great confidence boost for me. So when I was going to grade 7, my dad, yeah, obviously said, do you want to go to boarding school? I think it can help with your English speaking skills if you immerse yourself around, you know, Western people and, you know, force you to not speak any Chinese. So at the time, I was like, yeah, you know, I think that's a great idea. And also I kind of want to just, you know, live with friends. I thought that was a really cool idea, which it is. I do have another episode coming up just about my boarding school experience. Yeah, it's actually pretty fun. But yeah, no regrets there. But yeah, so I went into boarding school in high school. And I think even then I felt like I don't belong anywhere. It's like, yes, I live amongst, I live in the school, and I live amongst girls that are, you know, Australians. And, you know, that's where I learned how to, you know, that's where I learned how to put my makeup on and how to shave my legs, like, you know, all those kind of stories. But the thing is, at the end of the day, it's just sometimes when I talk to my cousins or even just like, you know, my Taiwanese friends, because I was still going to Chinese school every Sunday, I felt more normal, if that's the right word to say. I felt normal talking to them. I felt like I don't have to put on this front to act a certain way to fit in. And I think that was my biggest struggle in high school, is the fact that I felt like I fit in absolutely nowhere. And I just feel like girls are You have your popular girls and you have your geeky girls and things like that. And in high school, I was definitely the geeky girl. Like, I was in choir. I was doing choir singing. I played no sport. I was not sporty at all. So, you know, you can tell from there, I wasn't the most popular kid in the sandbox. But I think it's just in terms of that. Yeah, definitely. I felt that I don't belong in a certain group. Am I Asian? Like, or am I being, or am I Australian? Like, I just, you know, there's definitely that tuck and pull. And I think as I was growing up, you know, as I was maturing and things like that, it has got better. But then when I hit my early 20s, I was really lost, because one, I know I'm not super smart. So like, I can't, you know, I'm definitely not the academic type. So, you know, there it goes with meeting the expectations of being Asian. You're meant to be good at your homework. You're meant to have good grades and things like that. But I was just not in that niche. So I started to sort of discovering myself, like, where do I fit in? Like, what can I do to make my life easier? I think that was where my mindset was at. I just felt like, I want my life to be easy. I don't really want to force myself to become somebody else that I'm not. And I think through just growing up, I'm getting a more clear and clear mindset of like, okay, I know I'm living in a different country. I need to definitely blend in order to survive. So obviously your survive mode comes out, you know, that flight or fight mode. And I definitely felt like when I got into uni, when you're starting to go to all these parties and things like that, you want to blend in. Like, we can all be honest here. You want to blend in. And sometimes when you're young, you put on a front, be like, yeah, let's drink, let's do this. And you act like them, you act like one of them, even though that's not who you really are. But you're just trying to blend in. And it's just a survival mode. And so, you know, in my experience in my early 20s, I definitely lost my sense of direction. Like, I didn't know what to study. I did nursing for a year, then I transitioned to podiatry. And even then, I wasn't passionate about what I was studying. And nothing I do felt right. And so when I, at 22, I then moved out. And I think by then, I made my mind up. I kind of told myself that, no, I'm living in Australia. I have to somehow take control of what I do in my life, and I cannot just wallow in my own self-pity and be like, I don't fit it anywhere, I can't do this, I can't do that. Like, I think at that time, when you're in your early 20s, I think for me especially, I guess, seeing all my friends succeed in their way, it really encouraged me to also succeed in my own way. And no matter what that picture looks like at the time, even though I have absolutely no idea what that picture looks like, but I knew that I need to just follow my gut. So at the time, I obviously took up a job. I started working casually while I was studying, because that's what everybody does, you know. And I like that culture, to be honest. I feel like it brings you perspective when you're working and studying. Like, you're earning your own money, you're not just spending your parents' money all the time. It creates a sense of responsibility and independent for yourself, and I like that side of the culture, especially in a westernized culture. Because in an Asian culture, your parents will be like, no, stay home until, you know, you get a full-time job, until you finish your study, which I can see that to a certain degree that does help. But I think for me, for my personal experience, without my mum and dad pushing me to be like, you need to go find yourself a casual job, you need to learn that making money isn't easy, and also you need to, on top of that, make sure your studies are on top. And it was a major challenge for me, because a lot of my friends, especially friends from Chinese school, they don't go through that. Their parents sort of, not saying they're bad, no, not at all, because I think it's a cultural thing. But I think my parents is different in that sense, where they're quite westernized. Like, it's funny, because I mean, I'm here talking about my identity crisis And yes, a part of me do feel that, you know, I am Taiwanese, I am Asian, and there are definitely things that I do that my parents do reminds me of my culture. But I think the fact that my dad went to Melbourne University to do his Master of Business, my parents adopted a very westernized mindset. Not too westernized, like, you know, they didn't kick me out at 18, or, you know, when I moved out at 22, it wasn't their decision to make, it was my decision. I wanted to move out. I wanted to experience what it's like living out there by myself, doing my own thing, just taking control of my life and not living under my parents' roof. Because back then, I do not want to be living under my parents' roof because I get nagged all the time and I was sick of it. And look, I'll be honest, we all felt that, living under your parents' roof, and some people endure it. I couldn't. I was just like, nah, I'm getting out of here. But yeah, it was great. It was great for a while, you know, moving out at 22 and gaining my independence and making my own little money on the side, and also going to uni at the same time. It was really challenging, but I think that really helped me with my identity crisis, because throughout my stages of my life thus far, I went through two different spectrums. So I think when I said that, I think what I mean is, in my early 20s, so let's just say 20 to 25, 26, I was very, it happens naturally, like I wanted to blend in to the westernized culture. So I hang out with a lot of Australians. I basically had zero Asian friends at that point. A lot of the friends that I went to Chinese school with during my 20s to 26, I completely cut ties. Not in a bad way. I think we just drifted off. Like I didn't talk to any of my friends that I went to Chinese school, and you know, they were going through their own thing. They were going through their own growing up, and I was going through my own growing up at the time. So it was really interesting because, yeah, like, you know, during my early 20s, I've decided that, no, in order for me to survive in uni, in order for me to survive working and getting good jobs and just getting opportunities, I need to live like what they do. That was my mindset back then. I wanted to live like an Australian. I want to talk like an Australian. I want to learn their jargon. You know, I wanted to understand, you know, the way they talk and things like that. Like, I was really immersing myself. And so in my early 20s, you know, I dated a boy, and he was my very first serious boyfriend, I would say. But you know, in uni, when you date a boy, it's interesting. Like, boys are unpredictable. Like, that relationship, I would dive into another episode, but I would say that boy expanded my experience in terms of the westernized culture. Like, we went to a concert, we had house parties, we went to a lot of different, like, you know how in Australia, like, university, they have different clubs. Like, he was in one of the clubs, and I would go to events with him, balls and things like that. Like, I was going to every single party you can think of that you can go to in uni, or as, you know, as an early 20 something girl who are single and maybe just seeing a boy. Like, you just, it's an eye opener, because before then I was very introverted. Like, I'm painfully shy. Even in high school, I was painfully, painfully shy. And so when I dated that boy, it was different. It was a really good experience because I got to go to different parties, meet different people. I was able to really open up and just be a little bit more confident in myself during that period. However, just to bring back how I felt like I didn't belong, because even then, yes, I was great. You know, I was going to parties, I was meeting different people, opportunity was coming up, and I was, you know, very involved. But I just felt like I don't belong there. I don't want to go out and party every weekend, but I had to. I don't want to go to unnecessary like places if I don't want to. It was just like, it's just one of those things where if you do it, you're cool. That was my mindset. That was when I was in my early 20s, and just I completely just can't be alone by myself. And, you know, to be honest, not to be a downer, guys, like, that's really sad. Like, I feel like as a person, if you're able to spend time just by yourself, that is a blessing. Like, to be able to just be home, read a book, watch a TV, be by yourself, that's actually a very healthy way to wind down and get to know yourself and just shut out the outside noise. And I think at the time I wasn't mature enough to understand that. And so, you know, I was doing all these things that is sort of like, I underneath me, I felt like, yeah, it's not something I want to do, but, you know, it was fun. It was new. I was intrigued, you know, and being said that, guys, no regrets. I loved all the parties I've been to, and I love all the people that I met. Yes, some good, some bad, like, you know, but look, that's a long time ago. But I think just my how I felt at the time, yes, I definitely felt like there are some things I just don't belong. And I struggle with that quite a fair bit, because I felt like even the friendship group that I actually encountered in uni, it wasn't great. Like, I felt like I had to do all these things to impress them. I have to say all these things to impress them, to be able to be friends with them and in order to survive in uni, because without friends in uni or in whatever the subject that you're studying, it's really hard to, you know, get through or get by, because it's nice to talk to someone about your assignment. It's nice to talk to someone about, oh, what do we discuss today in, you know, about the topic in the lecture? Like, let's have a study session together. But in the course that I was in, podiatry, there wasn't a lot of Asians. It was, a lot of Caucasians. And there was just no sense of, how do I say, like, it's one of those, like, you know how when you meet someone that is, like, from your same culture, doesn't matter if they're Taiwanese or not, but, like, when you've been with, like, if you know someone that is in this similar culture as you are, you tend to bond better. But then in uni, when I was amongst all my classmates who are, you know, literally 90%, like, 99% of them are Caucasians, and the rest of them are, I guess, like, overseas student from Singapore, like, they have their own clique. Then where does that leave me? So that was a bit of a struggle for me, but look, it was fine. Like, it was one of those things where you just can't control. And so I was pretty lonely in uni. It wasn't the best experience for me, but I pushed through, I've done it, and yeah, I moved on. But I think just to bring it back to that, you know, my identity crisis, I definitely felt that. It wasn't fun. And I think it's just things that you do, you just feel different all the time. And it's funny because now I've been in Australia for 2003. Hold on, let me take out my calculator. Yes, I cannot do maths on the top of my head. So I came here in 2003, and now it's 2023. So yes, I've been in Australia for 20 years now. So it's been a long, long time. And I think only up until recently, I'm coming back to my roots. Just be proud to be Taiwanese, be proud that I'm Asian. And then, you know, and throughout the last 4 years, I would say I made some amazing friends that I, now looking back, in my early 20s, I made some really, really questionable friendship. And I'm not saying, like, they're bad people. I think they're great. But I think they're just, and I think friendship is a very tricky thing when you're in your early 20s. Some people are very lucky. They make great, amazing friends in high school, or even sometimes early uni days when you're still young and naive, I guess, in a way. Well, no baggage. It's like talking about a relationship, but yeah, like, I think some people are very lucky. Like, my husband, he has three great friends from high school that he still talk to these days. And you really only need, like, a few good friends to really ride through life with you. And back when I was in my early 20s, I thought that, no, in order to be cool, I have to have many friends. I have to have many contacts and this and that. And I think throughout that journey, I lost myself and also I made some questionable friends. But that's all a long time ago, and no longer in contact with those friends anymore, which I'm very grateful because they were not good for me. But in the last 4 to 5 years, definitely I made some amazing friends. And I think as you get older, when you get to know yourself a lot better, you tend to choose your friends a lot more careful, and you understand what friends that you vibe with and what friends you don't, and some friends that you do vibe with, but you then drift apart, and that's okay. You know, some friends are only meant to be in your life for a little bit, and some friends don't. And I think at this point, at my age now, I don't push that. I felt like if friends going to be staying in your life, they will. And it's a two-way street, you know, like you got to put effort both ways, but also giving space to your friends as well. You don't have to talk to your friends every day. I think that is unhealthy, but I think having a good friend is definitely worth it. Like if you can find your person, your friend, that's definitely a really big blessing, because they help you define who you are as well, along as you grow, because you can either grow together or grow apart. And I think if you have really good friends around you, they're able to tell you, be like, hey, you're doing this wrong, oh, you're doing this great, or oh, I, you know, let's you know, and you talk about your life experiences and you share, you be vulnerable with each other. And I think they really help with you with your identity as well. Not that you rely on them to discover who you are, but I think good friends, you're not going to be scared to be who you are. And I think that was what I struggled with in my early 20s. I felt like the friends that I made really put a strain on who I am. I felt like I couldn't really be who I am, who Diana is, and who, you know, I'm Taiwanese. I want to bring my culture into my daily living, but if I do, they frown upon, you know, they think that that's weird, and yeah, that's not nice, guys. I think, you know, it's never nice to treat people like that, and I get it. I guess we were early, we were young, but all of us weren't that mature, but it can really put a dent on somebody's experience. And you know, they say action speaks louder than words, so that definitely put a massive imprint in my memory that wasn't a good period for me, especially friendship wise but now as I got older, definitely good friends. I have amazing group of friends. I'm not scared to be who I am in front of them, and that's honestly, I'm super super grateful, because true friends will tell you how it is. And true friends will be there to support you no matter what. And true friends will, even though you're doing things that they don't like, they're not going to tell you what to do. Because at the end of the day, we're all humans. We want to experience it. We want to experience it for ourselves, to learn from the mistake, then move on. But as a friend, you're there for them. You're just there when they need you. So I think that's the best possible friendship you can get, is the fact that if you're doing questionable things, yes, they will tell you, but they're not gonna make you feel bad if you're gonna do something that they may not agree with. But it's one of those things where they know that you just need to experience for yourself, and then you will move on. And then those friends are probably one of the friends that you need. And so yeah, so I think that helped. And and especially now as I'm, you know, turning 30, I'm definitely going back to my roots a lot more. You know, same as reaching out to like my Taiwanese friends that reached out to me in the start of COVID. You know, they had to move back to Brisbane because a lot of them actually moved to Melbourne and Sydney. And during that time, you know, my friend reached out, and it was nice because I didn't know how much I wanted to come back to my root until my friend reached out to me, because up until then, I didn't really reach out to anybody. I was going through a bit of a weird period myself, and you know, I was going through self-healing at the time. And at the time I was already with my then boyfriend, but now husband. We were growing together, and I was growing by myself. I was growing, you know, myself as a, you know, as I mature. So I was going through my own thing. And so when my friend reached out to me in the beginning of COVID, yeah, I didn't realize how much I wanted to come back to my roots until then. And that was really nice, because there's a lot of life experiences and just a lot of things that we do. We still incorporate what our culture, what our parents taught us. And not to be not to exclude anybody, but unless you lived an experience in an Asian family, not even my husband can understand, you know, some of the things that I go through, or some of the things that my mom and dad say. Like, sometimes he finds it weird. He's like, oh, why would they say that? And I'm like, it's just something we do. It's just something we say, and it's not anything bad. And so, you know, but I'm able to talk about the things that my family and I talk about to my friends who are also Taiwanese or just Asian. They understand, like, that's just how we function. And it's nice, you know, it's nice to talk to them about that. And it really, you know, it's just, it brings back my true, like, the truest of me. And that's, like, the best feeling I can ever ask for. Because, yeah, like, I think just thinking back into my early 20s, that was, you know, it was fun for a while. And definitely there was struggle. But I wouldn't change a thing. I think I had to go through that in order for me to come out the other end and really just let a lot of things go. Because I think when I was younger, I was quite stubborn. I don't easily let things go. And I think that was one of my biggest downfall, is the fact that, I guess, struggle when I was younger. It was really hard for me to let things go. And I think that's where the unhealthiness comes in, you know, especially the people that, you know, you can affect the people that's around you. And it's very, very unhealthy. So now, as I'm getting older, I'm maturing and things like that, I'm definitely letting things go. And honestly, guys, my life is just so much better when you can let things go. Like, things are not, like, some things are just not meant to last forever. And I think if you can apply that to your mindset, your life becomes so much easier. And I think that's the same things with, you know, your career, your studies, your friendship, your relationship. If it's not going to work, it's not going to work. And there's no point of dwelling on it if you gave it your best. So one of the things I live by now is the fact that if I gave it my best to my studies, to my friendship, to my relationship, to the things I'm doing, if I gave it my best and I think that is the best I can give, and if it's not working out, I just let it go. This does not mean I'm giving up. I think it's more so the fact that there is no point of you dwelling on something that is not working out for you and then cause you mental stress. It's just not worth it. And yes, there are some things that you do need to repeatedly give it your best, you know, things like your job, you know, in your career. Like, if you made a mistake, correct it, move on. There's no point of dwelling on it. Yes, your boss may give you the shits and be like, oh, you're doing this wrong again. Like, okay, yes, I'm doing it wrong again. I'm going to correct it. I'm going to move on. And don't think about what they're going to think of you, because at the end of the day, and I'm talking in a career sense, you're there to do your job, and that's it, nothing personal. And that's same with everybody that's in the office. And, you know, when it comes to friendship, if it drifts apart, it drifts apart. Like, you know, I just apply a very nonchalant mindset. The nonchalant mindset definitely helps with your mental health, but you have to pick and choose when you need to be nonchalant. So I have to be very clear on that. I'm not telling you guys to give up on everything when things get hard. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. But I think there are just some things when you can't control and things doesn't go your way because you can't control it, let it go. Because if it's meant to be, it will be. But then if it's the things that you can control, oh, 100% give it your best. Like, keep trying and keep going at it. 100%, but it's things that you can't control. I think that's when people, you know, when people can control a certain thing, I think that's when we get very anxious, and when we get very, we just get anxious. And I think you can't easily move on, and it causes a lot of mental stress on yourself, and that's never worth it, you know? And you question it, you question about yourself, you know, who you are and what you do, and am I doing it right? And it's just, it's a whole lot of things going on in your brain, you know? So that's my journey of just my identity struggle. Because, growing up in Australia as an Asian, it is hard. Like, Australia is one of the most racist country. Like, you know, if you research and Google it or whatever, like, yeah, Australia is probably one of the most racist country out there. And have I been called a fob? 100%. Like, have I been called, have I seen people made faces of, you know, when they pull their eyes back? 100%. Like, I've seen it all. And it's not as bad now. And I don't know if it's because I'm so immersed into the culture now. And I've been in Australia for 20 years. So, you know, when I go up and talk to somebody, it's like, sometimes my Asian accent do come out a little bit, but most of the time it doesn't. And I think it's just how people perceive you as well. Like, now when I go into a shop or when I go talk to someone, they treat you like you're an Australian. But that's because I've been living here for 20 years. But then I think it's hard for some people where if they come over, let's just say, not as young as I did, and maybe they came over a lot older, sure, they might struggle, I think, because at the end of the day, you tend to hang out with people that you're most comfortable with, and you're not, and a lot of the times it's scary to step out of your comfort zone. And I think that comes with, you know, that comes with a lot of struggle, I think, and especially for someone who wants to immerse himself in the Australian culture. It is hard. Like, I feel like if you're not willing to step out of your comfort zone and just learn, you don't have to completely be Australian. And I mean, I do have a citizenship here, so I am Australian. But at the end of the day, I like how I'm a Taiwanese. And I like how when me and my friends who are Taiwanese talk about our life experiences, it's so relatable and it's so comforting in a way. And it's not a struggle for me to tell them what I'm going through. Like, if I'm telling my friends who isn't, you know, from my culture, there's just that sense of difference. Like, I think you guys, it's a little bit hard because I'm talking to myself right now. I don't have a friend that I can just like bounce this idea off, but leave a comment in my question and answer box in my episode for this episode. And just like, tell me if you have any experience in this, when you're struggling with your identity crisis, because I honestly think that a lot of us have experience through something like this. But yeah, leave a comment in my question and answer chat box in this episode. I definitely think that identity crisis, especially growing up as Asian Australian, or just like Asians in a foreign country that isn't your own, you definitely go through that tug and pull between the two different culture heavily. I definitely think that I definitely felt it. It was not easy. Sometimes when I look at my other friends, they made it look so easy. But then when I spoke to them, they're like, oh, no, I definitely struggled through. But you just don't see it because, when you're little, you don't tend to share your deepest worry. No, you don't. Like, you keep it to yourself. But now as I'm older and my friends are older, like, we tend to share our experiences and we're like, yeah, hell yeah, it was freaking hard, like, to get to meet the expectation of an Asian family and the expectation of the country that we're living in. It was not easy at all. And so, yeah, definitely leave a comment. Let me know. I would love to get to know what your experiences are like. So yeah, that would be really interesting. But Yeah, otherwise, I'm going to wrap it up here. For the next episode, it will come in about a week's time. I'm going to try and be consistent because this week I did say I was going to post on Wednesday, but I didn't. So yeah, no promises. I'm only just starting, but we'll see. I'm going to try and keep consistent. But for next week's episode, I'm going to be talking about my boarding school experiences and just really deep dive into what it's like, you know, as an Taiwanese Asian living in a boarding school that is full of Australians. It was fun. It was definitely an experience that I would never regret. I never regretted going. So yeah, stay tuned for next week's episode. But for now, thank you for listening. And yeah, we'll talk very soon. See ya.